he's going to bring it. So
welcome. That is terrific. Hopefully you all feel that same way after I'm done, right? I like this. God often puts stuff into my head, and when I get to stand up here and yak it out, then I get to let it out. And that's good, because God's word shouldn't just be cooped up, you know. I think this is really the thing. And God's put something on my heart, something that I've thought about for a long time. I've mentioned it before in Lifton, mentioned it a few times, alluded to it, I think, the last time I was up here. And I want to talk about today the purpose of prayer. You know, we often talk about how important prayer is. In fact, if you've grown up in the church, you'll know there's two things you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pray and read your Bible. And those are very important things. Both of them, they're critically important. In fact, prayer is a critically important discipline without which no Christian can long survive. Abandon Christianity. If you abandon prayer, you abandon Christianity, and you kind of move into pseudo-fake Christianity, and you learn how to talk Christian and act Christian and learn the things you're supposed to do and not do. But prayer is so important because it connects you with God. Prayer is basically, it's work. Sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it is, you just feel like you are laboring. Because of that, it's often avoided, or it's just given a token effort. And do my prayer this morning, blah, 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 I'm done. Glad that's over. But, and I've often mentioned, too, a thought about how prayer is more like a texting conversation on your phone with God than a phone call where you call and then you hang up. You don't really hang up. You just keep on going. Throughout the day, it's great to just involve God in that and just text him and listen to the texts you get from him, you know. It's a great little model to think about that. In fact, prayer has been around for a long time, really since the beginning, since it's a communication between God and man. It's been around since as long as people have been around. And so it's something that God has set up and instituted for us, not only to communicate with him, but in order for us to commune with him and to be with him and to hang out in his presence, which is a fabulous thing to do. But it's been around so long that people tend to lose sight of what it's for. Now, prayer has a lot of good things that it's good for, but I think we tend to focus, it's certainly a human thing to tend to focus on the wrong benefits and the wrong aspects of prayer. And so it's good for us to remind ourselves of that. Now, the word prayer itself, if you say the word pray, the word prayer, at least in the English language, I didn't look it up in the Hebrew or the Greek or anything like that, but it implies asking for something and saying, I pray for you to do this. Pray, please do this. So it implies asking for something, and this is often where we get hung up, because we start off with the something that we're asking for instead of the someone that we're asking and we're talking to. And so we end up asking for the wrong things. And in fact, in James it says that you pray and you don't ask, or maybe that's 1 John, where he says you pray and you ask, but you don't get what you want because you're asking for the wrong things. That you can just have what you get, what you spend on, or spend what you get on your pleasures. And so let's go back and let's hit a few things about what the Bible says about prayer. What does the Bible say? You know, there's quite a lot, actually. And this is just, I'm just going to hit a few of the highlights in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you see people praying for things. You see people asking for things. And a lot of these are headline prayers. A lot of the Old Testament, you see people praying things and doing things, but you realize that the person's whole life may be compressed into three or four verses, and you don't get the day-to-day stuff. But let's look at some of the instructions that the Bible says in the New Testament about prayer. In Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now, I'm not sure that this says, should I pray, God, should I go to McDonald's or Burger King today for lunch? I think God would say, no, eat something good. there are good choices there. That's right. Donald has some very good talents. But anyway, it's connecting this with the first part of that. It says, don't worry about anything, and instead pray about everything. So prayer here is a substitute, and a much, much better substitute for worrying about things, because you worry about something and you go round and round and round and round and round and round, and when you pray about something, you're going out and you're going forward with it. So it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Another thing the Bible says in Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourself to prayer. This is one of those scriptures that haunts me. That word devote is a very strong word. It's saying, don't just make prayer an important part. It says, devote yourself. When you think about what that word devote means, it means, this is my purpose. I am dedicating myself to prayer. It's not just prayer, isn't just something I do, but this is something that shapes me. This is something that I am devoted to. You think about that word and the things that you are devoted to. You know, it seems like in this society, we are seldom devoted to anything, to any cause. We find it easy to just drop something and jump ship and go on to something else. But think about that. My goodness, whenever I'm reading through Colossians and I hit that and I say, oh, I got to stop at that verse and say, this is something I need to do. Devote myself more and more to prayer. That tells me how important it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Pray continually. Keep on doing it. Like I was saying about the text message conversation, how I talk, you're talking to God all through the day. Not, oh, got my prayer done. Now I can get on with what I want to do today. No, I'm going to devote myself to prayer. I'm going to pray continually. When something happens that surprises me, I'm going to talk to God about it. When God wants to tell me something about something that's going to something that's happening or something that's about to happen, I want to hear that. I want to catch that. I'm not just, oh, sorry, God, I'm too busy with what I'm doing. Pray continually. That's something that's well worth learning how to do. Mark 14:38, something Jesus said to his disciples when he was praying in the garden. He says, watch and pray, so that you not fall into temptation. Watch and pray. You know, we tend to, you know, if you think about that physically, we pray with our eyes closed, and I think Jesus was just waking up his disciples, as I recall, from their little nap that when they were praying, but they started to pray and then fell asleep. That never happens to me. God says, watch and pray. So combine your prayers with watching what's going on. As you go through your day, as you go through your life, watch what's going on. And don't just look and see what's going on. He says, but watch it. Watch. You're looking for something. And pray. And this two-step process here, two-track thing where you're watching and you're praying, you got your eyes open, not only to what you can see here in the physical world, but as you pray, God will open your eyes then to what you can see spiritually, to what's going on spiritually in people's hearts. God will give you insight. He'll give you vision. He'll give you understanding and wisdom. So I think this is a good thing, as we see, watch what's going on and pray about it. We also see a lot more of praying for other people in the New Testament. If you look through Paul's letters there, we see him talking about praying for people. He says, pray for us. He says, in all my prayers for all of you, he says to the Philippians, I always pray with joy. And there's a lot of talk about praying for other people. And so think about this in prayer, that God has put a lot of people in your life. God has connected you up with a lot of people, and he wants you to pray for them. He wants you to think about them and pray for them, and he may tell you something about them specifically to pray for. Not necessarily, may give you like a word we call a word of knowledge, where he just says, pray specifically for this person. I don't know how many times it's happened. Happens to my wife a lot because she's really, really good at this. God will just put somebody on her heart, and then she'll say, you know, I was praying for. Or she starts praying for them, and then finds out later that there was something happening in their life. There was a critical instance in their life, and they really needed prayer at that time. And so, when God puts someone on your heart, pray for them. So that's one thing that we can really do for each other, is to pray for that. So we see a lot of that happening in the New Testament. Also, you know, the Bible, Jesus gave us a model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, and it encompasses praise and a focus on God's will. It's asking for forgiveness, provision, and protection. And you know, from any one time to another, those things may be more important to you. One may be more important to you than another. But all of those are important things. And so he gave us this kind of a template model prayer. We also see in John chapter 17, we see Jesus praying for himself and then praying for his disciples and for other people. And he prayed for even for us who haven't even been born yet. And so we see this is an important thing. Jesus is not only modeling prayer. And I kind of wonder, you know, who was there writing that down? Did they write that down afterwards? Or did, I don't know, kind of how that happened when Jesus is praying for that, or somebody's sitting back there and saying, man, this is important, I better write this down. And it got it into the Bible, and that's awesome. So we see Jesus praying for himself, praying for us. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a story of a woman and an unjust judge. And what's interesting about this is he starts off, right before the Bible talks about his, it starts off before this story, which is a really short story, parable, and the story is introduced with this sentence. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's important. Always pray and not give up, because we often find ourselves in the position where we pray and, you know, like what is that song that says, I open my eyes and it's still raining. I'm praying and I'll praise you in the storm is what the song is called. But it says, you know, you pray and you're done praying and you feel like, well, nothing's changed. And sometimes you pray about things for a long time. And that's kind of what the story is about. And it goes like this, if you're not familiar with this story. It says, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. She brought her rolling pin into court, which, I don't know, these days they'd probably confiscate that. See, that's a weapon. For some time, the judge refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice, so that eventually she won't come and attack me. That's what it says, you know. So this in the story, this woman comes, and she comes the next day and the next day and the next day, and she bugs him and bugs him and bugs this judge, who doesn't care about anything but himself. And so she takes it right to himself and says, you know, if you get me what I want, I'm going to stop bugging you. And so he says, I'll just give her what she wants. And like many parables or other analogies that we can make, this is a good thing to help us give us understanding, because Jesus said, you know, if this unjust judge who doesn't care about God or people, if he gives her that, how much more will God give you what you're asking for when you continue to come before him? But, you know, like I say, this can be taken too far, like any analogy, because I think the danger in this is thinking that God is like this judge. And when we pray to him and we say, God, I really need this, really would like this to happen, and then we kind of picture God as saying, well, what was that? Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention. And God never says that, by the way. He never says, oh, sorry, didn't see you down there. Or we may picture God saying, sorry, I'm just not strong enough to do that. Or I can't figure out how to do that and do everything else that I'm doing right now. So I'm kind of busy, okay? You know, God does not say this. Or God doesn't say, you know, I just really don't care. I don't care about you, so I'm not going to do that. This is God. God never says that, never, okay? So we tend to feel like God's like this judge, but he's not. We find ourselves often in the place of praying for something or for someone or for some situation, and we pray for it over and over and over over a long period of time. And why doesn't God answer right away? Why does he make us pray over and over? Why did Jesus tell this parable to tell people they should always pray and not give up? You know, it's not because he doesn't care. It's not because he's not strong enough. It's not because he's not clever enough to figure out how to make it happen. He's all those things. And oftentimes, I think of situations like that. You find yourself in a situation and you're praying about it, and you say, there must be a reason. I've got to have faith in God and trust that he knows what he's doing, that I don't get this right away when I pray. Let me give you an example. You know, in the church here, we have a mortgage. We got it several years ago when we put this addition on to put this nice big stage here in the youth room and the conference room. Cost a lot of money. We took a mortgage out, and right now, financially, that mortgage is kind of a pinch on our church's finances. And so we and the governing board and the church staff, such, I've been praying for a long time, God, pay this mortgage off. You know, we're making our monthly payment, but it's going to be a while still. And we just keep on praying for that and praying and praying and praying, and yet God has not done that. He has not, he hasn't just dropped $100,000 into our lap, which is just about what's left on the mortgage. So anybody, well, we already had our offering, didn't we? Next week, okay? Next week. but I think that when we pray about something and it's not happening, God wants us to keep praying about it, because I think he wants, among other things, he wants just to talk to us about it. It's not because he's saying, nope, sorry, not now, later, maybe. You know, don't bug me. He's not saying that. He's not saying, sorry, I can't do that, but I'll see if I can figure it out later. But he's saying, let's talk about this. Because as we pray and as we talk to God, we spend time with him, we become like him. I think that God wants us to get his perspective on the situation. And he wants to make our perspective line up with his perspective. And that's why it takes time. Is, boy, my perspective is, I know exactly what I want. I'm saying, praying, I'm praying this and this and this. But God may be saying, my heart is more like this way. And so God wants us to get his perspective. And a good way to get someone's perspective is to talk to them and to listen to them. You tell them about that. And so if we come into our prayer time like a bull in a china shop saying, boom, 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 this, do this, do this, do this, God, and I command angels to do this, and I am posting this, and I am jumping on this, and I am, sit down and get God's perspective on something. I think he wants to talk about this. There's a lot of benefits to prayer, and as I said before, it's work. It takes effort. It's one of those things, though, that's absolutely worth it. It's worth the effort. And if I were to pick one main purpose and benefit of prayer, it would be this, that the purpose of prayer is to spend time in God's presence and letting the exposure to God change you. The more time you spend with God, the more you become like him. And your character will become more like his, and your understanding, and he will give you of himself. You know, and Jesus said, one of the things he said about prayer was, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And I think, well, what's he going to reward you with? But, you know, the best thing ever, his very nature. And so, going back to what I was saying about our church mortgage, and we pray about that. You know, when we on the governing board, we pray for that. But then I think that it would be a really good thing for God to just pay off our mortgage. But what would be even better, so much better, is for God to give me his heart about how he wants us to view money and to view the church's finances and to manage that as well as we can, and even better than we can. I want to have God's heart when it comes to our governing board meetings, when we sit and we decide what we're going to buy and what we're not going to buy and things like that. I want to do that right. That's an important thing, not only because all of you folks and everybody who's a tither here says amen, but all of the money that you give, you want that to be well spent, but even more so, God has got such a great plan for this church, and he gives us all that we need, including all the money that we need to do that. And so I want to have God's heart when it comes to do that. As a leader in the church, I want to have God's heart in spending money and in dealing with money, because money is terribly, terribly important. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, money is the answer to everything. If you don't believe that, look it up, Ecclesiastes. It's the key to living in this life, you know. It's what you get, it's what you need. And so that's an important thing. So it's important to pray about. So God wants us to spend time with him to develop a character like his. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As you spend time with God, as you hang out with him, as you talk to him, as you listen to him, you become like him. Romans 12:2, another one that says about transforming ourselves. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Oh, I want this. Oh, I want this. I want to be more like God. I want to have my mind renewed. So I know what's his will and what's not. I want to know what's I want to have my mind renewed to be able to test and remove and approve. There's another scripture, I forget exactly where it is, but it says, then you'll be able to discern what is best. I said, that's what I'd love to have. I'd love to have that. And you'll be able to know what God's will is in the situation, because you're hanging out with him. It just feels like this is right. That is awesome. God wants to change you. He wants to change you from frustration to fulfillment. He wants to change you from having an aimless life to being purpose-driven. He wants to change you from being blind to seeing through things, to the root causes. Oh, I'd love to have that. X-ray vision. Right? In situations like that. He wants to change you from being selfish to having genuine love for people. Change from having no clue about what's going on to having God's wisdom. God wants to change you from running around in circles to running towards the goal. He wants to change you from being weak and ineffective to being powerful and effective. And he wants to change you from being a victim to not only being a victor, but a rescuer. Someone who goes out there and gets other people who have been victims and does that. God, that's the sort of thing. A person that's got that, my goodness, is just a fantastic tool in God's hand, and a fantastic, and the life you'll have is an adventure, an awesome adventure. So God wants us to pray, and this is what prayer changes us from, what it changes us to. If we do it the right way, if we're not just focused on what we want, I want this, I want this, I want this. And God says, I would love to give you all those things, but so much more, I want to give you the best thing, and that's my heart, my nature. That's the best thing. and there's more benefits to come. But wait, there's more. The book of James talks about praying with faith. And faith is absolutely essential to prayer. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels. You're saying, well, praying for one thing, praying for the other, praying for the wrong things. And it gets really frustrating because I'm praying for the wrong things and I'm focused on this wrong thing. And God says, but I got something so much better here for you. Remember that faith, again, is not just confidence. Some people say, I'm going to pray with faith. That means I just really believe that what I want, I'm going to get. That's not faith. Faith comes from hearing God's word. Comes from hearing, not only, and I believe it says hearing because it's not just reading God's word, but hearing what he says to you. And as you read in the scripture, but also in other times, as God speaks to your, he speaks to your heart, he speaks faith into your heart. And he'll talk to you specifically about things, and he'll say, this is what I want to do. Pray about that. Okay, I'm going to pray with faith. Remember that the faith is not just confidence, it's hearing what's on God's heart and then agreeing with it. Aligning your heart with God's heart. That's when your prayers are answered one after another after another. That's when you get the reputation of a person who says, you get the reputation of someone who prays and gets results. You know, people like that. They say, my goodness, I want you to pray for me because I know that God hears your prayer. And, well, again, the answer to that is God hears my prayer because I'm praying according to his heart, not just so that I can get what I want. 1 John 5:14-15, great scripture with this. Great scripture. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. You know, it's easy to look at a scripture like that and say, yeah, but not really, because it doesn't work that way for me. How do I get to the place where this works for me, where this happens to me? John 15:7, another one, it's along the same lines. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Whoa, is this really like a blank check with God's signature on it? Yeah, it actually is. But there's a little key in here, and it's this little word if. That word if is the key, and like a key, it's a little piece of metal, like the little piece of metal that you put in your car's ignition this morning. And it unleashed all the horsepower it took to get you and everybody in your car all the way from there to here. You know, that's something I was driving to Des Moines last night and thinking about what a fantastic thing a car is. We just so take it for granted. But, you know, it's an amazing thing what somebody would have thought even a couple of hundred years ago would have been just like beyond the idea of saying, oh, I think I'll just go down, I'll drive 50 miles and then I'll come back. And I did that twice yesterday. And didn't think anything of it. But it would take, to walk there, take all day. And then back, and then there, and then back again. It's a phenomenal thing. And the same way, this little word if here is the key to unleashing this incredible power that is God's blank check with your name on it and his signature. And we see if, in the first scripture here, if we ask anything according to his will. Oh, okay, there's the catch, right? So we just have to figure out what is according to his will. And the second one says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Well, okay, how does that happen? Do I just kind of swerve into this, or how can I do this? No, this is done through prayer. And so many times it's not just you pray once and then poof. Now God is going to tell you everything that's in his will, and poof, his words are remaining in you. In fact, that word really implies and indicates that that's going to get in there and stay. It's not just that I swerved into God's will there, and I swerved into his word, and it just kind of jumped into my heart there for a minute, and I prayed it right, and boom, and then it happened, and there it went out. It may happen sometimes, but I'm not interested in that. I want to have this happen on a consistent basis. So I want to remain in Him, to spend some time with Him, to invest myself in that, to devote myself to prayer, so that I would remain in God and His words remain in me. And if this happens, then I'm going to get whatever I want in prayer. Whatever I ask, it's going to happen. The closer I get to that, the more things I ask that are just going to happen, because my will is aligning with God's will. You know, it was a long time ago. I was talking to an unbeliever, and he was talking about prayer, and it kind of made me think about this, because he says, do you really think by praying you can change God's mind? And so he says, do you think that God's going to do something, and then you say, go, God, I want you to do this, and he's going to say, oh, okay, I was going to do something else, but I'm going to do this instead. Well, I said, thought, no, that's not the case. And he said, well, do you really think that you're praying for God to do something that He's planning to do anyway? So why pray about it? He's going to do it anyway. I thought, well, this is a good point. This is a good point. But the point of prayer is not to get what we want. It's to make us like Him. The point of prayer is to align my heart with God's heart. And the getting what I want is just kind of the, that's the indicator that I'm getting close. The closer I get to God, the more I find that my prayers are answered that way. And so, but it takes time. It takes effort. This is a discipline, and we don't like discipline. We don't like hard work, but that's what it is. But it's absolutely worth it. So you have to let prayer change you and become more like God. When you become more like Him, you'll remain in Him. His words will be in you. You begin praying according to His will. This is what makes your prayers powerful and effective. So when you pray, ask God what He thinks about the situation. Don't just jump in and say, here's what I want. Ask Him for what His heart is in the matter and to align your heart with His. That'll probably speed things up, too. If that's your goal in prayer, instead of just getting what I really want is the nature of God in myself. Because, you know, that's God's ultimate goal for us anyway. Everything else is just a picture frame. He's much more interested in the picture than in the frame and how comfortable I can make myself and how nice I can, you know, the things that I can pray about that will benefit me. So when you pray, ask God what He thinks about the situation. Ask Him for His heart on the matter, to align your heart with His. And, you know, it's going to take some time to learn how to do this, but if you start down that road today, I guarantee you'll never regret it. I want to make my prayers powerful and effective. I don't want to just resolve to pray more, spin my wheels more. I want to make my prayers effective. I want to be smart in prayer. I want to let my prayer change me. All right, let's pray. God, make us like You. And we pray, as we think of the things that we pray about and the time that we spend in prayer, we want more than anything else to pray that prayer that says, Lord, change me. And not just change me for other people's sake or for my sake, but God, for the sake of the kingdom of God. We want to be Your people. We want to be victors. We want to be rescuers. We want to know what's going on. We want to be running toward the goal instead of running around in circles. So much benefits other than just the things and the situations that we pray for. And we see that sometimes You put us into situations and You put us into dark valleys so that we can pray. And then You lead us through that valley so that not only do we learn by the prayer, but we learn to trust You. Help us, God. Take us step by step through this. Teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord, to have faith. And guide us as we live this life for You. Thank You, God. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good week.